Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Carolyn Nichols, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Brighton, England. She's been teaching for over 30 years. She's written two books on the Alexander Technique, and she is the director of an Alexander Technique teacher training program in Brighton. And we're going to talk today about how the Alexander Technique can help people alleviate stress. Carolyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert. It's very nice to be with you.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you again. We've done a number of podcast interviews. Carolyn, could you begin by just giving our listeners a very short definition of the Alexander Technique?
Yes, I can. I think for the purpose of what we're going to be talking about today, it's quite interesting to think of the Alexander Technique as a way that you can learn to manage your body, your movements, and your reactions. And that's a simple definition, but it actually covers quite a lot of things, because the way that you hold yourself, the way that you move, go up and down the stairs, get in and out of chairs, which we have to do all the time, even getting in and out of your car, or maybe just sitting down to eat your breakfast, all these things can add to your daily stress load if you do them poorly or without thought. And the Alexander Technique's a really good way of highlighting those kind of problems in yourself and learning to deal with them effectively.
Yeah, and it's interesting that I think it's fair to say the Alexander Technique is pretty well known for helping people with stress, and yet, and it appears in book titles, Swimming Without Stress, a book I wrote a long time ago called Fitness Without Stress. But oddly enough, there's very little that's written about specifically about how the technique can help people who are feeling stressed. Do you have any idea why that might be?
Why there's not much written about it, you mean?
Specifically about it. It's kind of lurks in the background. It seems as though everyone knows that, or many people know that, but there isn't much out there that specifically addresses itself to that question.
I think one of the reasons is it's almost taken for granted. Stress is seen as almost a normal part of life. And you hear many different and conflicting things about it. For example, sometimes you will read stress is good for you. All stimulus that you receive is a kind of stress. And I think because of that, it can easily get overlooked. And even in the Alexander world, we tend to concentrate more on pain and performance and less on stress, because stress is an ongoing thing. It's a daily thing. You live with it. It's a question of how much of it do you need, and can you learn to control it before it starts becoming a problem in your life?
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of that all-inclusive nature of stress that has perhaps responsible for our not specifically talking about it a lot.
I would say so, yes. Yeah. I mean, if you also, it's blamed for everything, isn't it? Oh, you're stressed. That's why you've got headaches. That's why you've got migraine. That's why you've got this, that, or the other. Reduce your stress. But very little of practical value as to, well, what does that stress do to you? What does it mean when someone tells someone, a medical professional tells you, you're stressed? What does that actually mean? And what can you do about it? It's become a bit of a catch-all. If someone doesn't know what's wrong with them, oh, it's stress.
Mm-hmm. And I think another part of the problem, in a way, of talking about stress in general, and certainly the Alexander technique's relationship to it, is that there's a kind of there's a distinction that really needs to be made between some outside thing that you perceive as being stressful, a situation you're in. You might label it as a stressful situation. And then there's the question of, well, how does that get taken up by you? And in a sense, how is it embedded in yourself?
Yes.
And I'd like you to talk about that, because that seems to me to be a crucial distinction that gets blurred in normal conversation.
Yeah, I would say so. And actually, you've highlighted something that quite interests me, which is perhaps the difference between what you might consider low-level stress, and that's sort of embedded, I think, in your response to your daily life, something that you don't even notice, you don't even think about. But if your response to everyday stress is not a useful one, when an external stressor comes along, a difficult situation that you have to deal with, or an illness that you maybe have, or an accident that you have, the background level of stress that's already there actually is quite significant in the way that you're going to respond to this additional stress load. Do you kind of get what I'm talking about here?
I do. And because really any sort of unusual stress or a new stress that comes on top of the low-level stuff that's always there that you're talking about, it's an additive process. And the more kind of background stress you're carrying, the more susceptible you are to being overloaded by some new thing that comes into your life. I think that's what you're saying.
That's absolutely right. And that's sometimes when you've got a situation where perhaps your background level of stress is building up slowly, and you don't really notice it, perhaps because you're unaware of how your body is responding, or you're just thinking, oh, I've just got this one more thing to do, then the additional stress could actually be something quite small, and your response seems to other people disproportionate. And that's also something quite interesting. And we sometimes say, oh, it was the last straw, whatever it was, without thinking, well, what were the straws before that? What was the straws before the last straw? How were you responding to those?
Right. I don't know whether this is an issue in Great Britain, but in America, there is a whole question of what's called road rage, which,
we have it.
You have it, and you have it there too. People, you're dealing with unpleasant traffic, just as the normal course of your commute, and then someone does something that you perceive as disrespectful or whatever, and you just explode way out of proportion. I mean, in America, it can lead to death. You know, it can lead to murder on the interstate. So it's a pretty serious issue. And
yeah, ours tends to be more kind of yelling and bad behavior.
You haven't got to our level yet, but you know.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not. Yeah, but and I wonder whether I guess two questions, that kind of background stress that many of us have. I wonder if that has not. Perhaps increased in the last few decades, just with things like traffic and maybe the economic stresses that people are going through, that may be more now than it was even in Alexander's time. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yes, I would think that that's quite right. And I would add into that the kind of acceptance that we have of what we call multitasking. So if you're mm-hmm. driving your car, it seems to be quite acceptable that you can make telephone calls hands-free.
Mm-hmm.
And people think, oh, that's okay. You know, you haven't got to use your hands, so you can use your hands to steer your car.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I've seen people, and I've been driving with people who've taken something like a business conference call whilst they're driving.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they're hands-free, but where's their attention? Their attention is having to be very, very split into two quite significantly different skills, if you like. One, driving the car, which in itself is increasingly difficult because of the demands of traffic and so on. And then actually responding in an intelligent and an articulate way to possibly a quite important business call. And this actually strikes me as really not a sensible way for us to think of as something normal. And yet we do. We think, oh, I'm going to drive. I don't want to waste that time. So I'm going to do this telephone call.
Right. Well, you know, once again, we're a little ahead of you here. A big issue in the States right now is texting while driving. And it is illegal in some states, but not all.
It's illegal here to text. Yeah, it is illegal.
But it happens, and it happens a lot. And so I think you're right about the multitasking. So given the sort of enhanced level of background stress that people are likely to be facing, that kind of will... is there at the time some major thing happens to them, what would you say the role of the Alexander technique can be in helping that situation? Most people, I think the average person thinks of the Alexander technique as, oh, that's good for posture.
Mm-hmm.
That's good for performers who want to sing better or play their instrument better or whatever.
That's right.
Might be good for people with back pain, pain relief. What could you say a little specifically about how having some training in the Alexander technique can help with these issues that we've, I think, pretty clearly identified?
Yes, certainly. Well, one of the things that you'll notice possibly in yourself, or you certainly see it in someone who is stressed, perhaps the stress has built over into either anger or anxiety, you will see that reflected in the way that they use their body. You will see that the neck actually starts to stiffen and the jaw locks and the head is kind of retracted. Now, that is the same pattern that we see in someone with back pain. So we kind of think, oh, okay, is this the same thing? And to a certain extent, it is, because it's a response to a stimulus. But you see, stimulus comes in so many different guises. And what we're talking about here is stress, which is a continuous stimulus, and it builds up. So let's say, for example, you've got some idea about the fact that when you're under tension, when you're under pressure, you do quite easily forget about what's happening with your head and your neck, and you stiffen your neck and you withdraw your head and you clench your jaw. Particularly, this is very noticeable, and you see when people are doing this when they're having their conversations, let's say driving down the, or we call it the motorway, you call it the interstate, yeah?
Interstate, or yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can see that their mouth looks really, really tight. And if you've got some Alexander training, you can learn to recognize this build-up, because fundamentally what happens is it's not just that you stiffen your neck as an isolated incident. You continue stiffening it. You make it more and more stiff. You build on that stiffness. the more you build on it, the less you actually physically feel it. Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily have the right kind of prompt to release it. But with your Alexander training, having some lessons, beginning to take it on board yourself, practicing a little bit, it may be in semi-supine on a daily basis where you're lying down and you're paying some attention to what's going on in your body, these things can heighten your awareness so that when you're in this build-up, something inside you is going to go, oh, I know what's happening with me. I can tell I'm stiffening. I'm stiffening my whole body, and I'm holding my breath as a consequence of all this stiffening. And that, of course, has the effect of reducing your oxygen in your whole body. It's going to make you feel sluggish. It's going to make you feel just not very nice, unpleasant, like sitting in a stuffy room. It's like your own body has become a stuffy room. So that's another effect that really you can help undo when you've got some Alexander background. Because, does that make sense?
Yeah, and because, if I can see if I could elaborate on that a bit, because mm-hmm. the Alexander technique teaches you how to become more aware of physical tension in your body.
That's right.
That, in fact, stress, as you say, creates its own version of physical tension, which may not be exactly the same as others, but certainly the same general pattern. And of course, the Alexander teacher offers some very specific ways in which you can let go of that tension. Very practical, simple ways to release it. And if it's tension, because, say, there's tightening, it's creating back pain, it can do that, but it can also help you release tension that one would label stress or the reaction to a stressful situation.
That's right. Stress or anxiety is a very big right. part of stress.
And I think it's true to say, but I'd be interested in your take on this, that it's not really possible to have any kind of stress affect you without there being some physical aspect to that.
Oh, I 100% agree.
I mean, I think Alexander, who was a great mind-body unity guy way before his time, would say, you can't even think the tiniest little thought without some physical correlate to it.
You know? Yes, there's that lovely quote where he said, you convert everything, mental, physical, and spiritual, into muscular tension.
Right. And not all that tension is bad. I mean, you might think a nice thought, but there's going to be some muscles that are going to have to be involved even with that thought, which is, of course, the thought of some unpleasant thing coming at you is likely to produce a lot more muscular activity and undesirable muscular activity.
That's right. And what Alexander's, to my mind, genius was this recognition that because of the way that we're put together, we have this heavy head that we've got to balance somehow on this very slender, mobile neck. Mm-hmm. And we tend to do that badly. And we tend to get into habits of responding to all kinds of things, including stress, by not managing that delicate balance well enough. And that's stress.
Right. That's when we have taken an outside thing that we label as stress and we have taken it into ourselves.
That's
right. And that taking into ourselves is the very thing that the Alexander technique can help you either prevent in the first place or, if it's already happened, help you release it.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Yeah. And I would say, almost one of the first and most noticeable responses to stress is breath holding.
Mm-hmm.
And that can lead to a whole series of problems. If that becomes a habit, it can lead to hyperventilation. It can lead to all kinds of problems, including heart problems. Mm-hmm. When people hold their breath without realizing it, it can disrupt all bodily functions really rather badly.
Yes, absolutely. We're probably getting kind of to the end of our time. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to mention before we close?
I would just like to say that one of the most wonderful things that you can do to damp down, if you like, your basic stress response is what you're going to learn in your lessons, and that's the semi-supine procedure. And that if you practice that regularly, especially when you're not actually feeling stressed, then that too builds up as a good habit, so that when a big stress comes along, you've got some good Alexander direction in your bank account, if you like.
Yes,
I like to think of it that way.
Yes, I think that's very true. The constructive or the semi-supine position that you're referring to is sometimes called constructive rest. Sometimes it's called Alexander lying down. And we'll put a link, I'll put a link by this interview to a page that has a lot of information on that. And that is something that I think people who, even people who are not taking Alexander lessons, can benefit from.
Oh, absolutely.
It's available to anybody. It's deceptively simple, but incredibly powerful. And as you say, it kind of puts a little money in your bank account, in a sense, so that when stress does come along, you're a step ahead of the game.
That's
that might be a great place to end our talk. My guest today has been Carolyn Nichols, an Alexander Technique teacher and teacher trainer in Brighton, England. We'll put a link to her website by the interview. If you're in the Brighton area, you can contact her. We'll put a link to Constructive Rest or Alexander Lying Down. They're different. It goes by different names, to a page that gives you everything you need to know about that. And we'll put a link to a site that'll show you how to find a teacher anywhere in the world, Alexander teacher anywhere in the world, and has more information about the Alexander Technique. Carolyn, thanks so much for this.
Thank you, Robert.